Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm your host, John Kuzma, and I'm here to talk about the latest NFL news in action. We have a lot of great stories coming up for you today. Just thank you guys for tuning in. I can't say it enough. Show's been going great. But let's start with Jason Witten. You know, Jason Witten trades in his headset for a helmet and rejoins the Dallas Cowboys. Witten felt like the team was one tight end away from winning a Super Bowl. You know, Jason Witten's broadcasting career is already over. After spending a year with ESPN as a part of the Monday Night Football crew alongside Booger McFarlane and Joe Tessitore, Witten decided that he would return to the Dallas Cowboys in hopes of winning a Super Bowl. Witten stated, "The fire inside of me to compete and play this game is just burning too strong." He also added, "This team has a great group of rising young stars, and I want to help them make a run at a championship." Basically, Witten felt like the Cowboys were a tight end away from being able to win it all. The trade for Amari Cooper really helped revamp their offense, and there's a lot to be optimistic about at the moment. You also have to remember that Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are both up for new contracts soon, and you never know how that's going to play out. So Witten came to the conclusion that there might be a one-year window at most, and he's definitely on board for what could be the final go for this current Cowboys regime. Jason Garrett is also on thin ice, so the Jones family will probably shake things up if Dallas underperforms. From Witten's point of view, he's been a part of it and seen it, seen what it's grown into now. Ultimately, returning to the football field was a compelling offer for him, and he wasn't very well received in the booth calling plays. There was a lot of fans that didn't like Witten for whatever reason, and you have to wonder if that played a role in him stepping away from broadcasting. The other question is, will he ever get another job in the field again after he does retire? Those are all answers we'll find out down the line, but for now he's heading down to Texas to do what he does better than most, and that's catch the football. So Jason Witten, in a shocking twist, he walks away from broadcasting, hangs up his headset, trades it in for a helmet, decides to head back down to Texas and rejoin the team. And there's pros and cons on both sides of this thing. He's making much more as a player. Big pro. You know, if you can make this large amount of money for a limited amount of time, you probably should take that offer up. Now, one major con is the cost for obtaining that money is the physical toll that the sport takes on Jason Witten's body. So it's about weighing those two things. Clearly he felt the money was worth it. And let's be honest, it wasn't all about the money. He thinks this last year could be the window for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, if Dak Prescott doesn't get re-signed or Ezekiel Elliott doesn't get re-signed, or something happens with those two contracts, or one of those guys ends up leaving, that could change the whole dynamic of the team. And then you also factor in that Jason Garrett's on thin ice. They have a down year and underperform. Jerry Jones will probably let Jason Garrett go. So that would completely alter the landscape of the Dallas Cowboys as well. So for Jason Witten, he knew we're close. We made it to the playoffs. He didn't think they were going to be that good. When he retired, he said, you know, Dez left. I don't know if we can do it without Dez. Then he walked away. He just kind of felt like the Dallas Cowboys weren't a true contender. But, you know, Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones, they did a good job, you know, of getting Michael Gallup to kind of, you know, limit the loss from Dez Bryant leaving. You know, they brought in Allen Hurns. He didn't do a lot, but, you know, he's a role player in there. And then really the biggest thing was trading for Amari Cooper. That made them competitive again, and they were right there. And then obviously the defense, which is actually bigger than Amari Cooper, so let me take that back. The biggest thing is the defense, which is Jalen Smith panning out, which is Leighton Vander Esch being a star as a rookie. So it started on the defensive side of the ball with those guys being the nucleus, and then they got Amari Cooper, and that really put them back in contention. So Jason Witten was kind of – we heard all throughout last year that Jerry Jones was trying to get Jason Witten to come back. You know, clearly, you know, them recruiting Witten worked because eventually he does walk away from calling plays, which is another career. That's a post-career he had lined up. And to walk away – you know, he kind of let down ESPN doing that. So you have to wonder if ESPN would be open to bringing him back after he does retire from football again. So it's a super risky move on Jason Witten's behalf. And I heard Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp talking about this today, and they said, you know, he was living in Tony Romo's shadow, who's actually his best friend, and Tony lit it up as an analyst. And that's all true. But you're going to grow and get better with time. It's like anything else, any other skill. You know, after 2-3 years, you improve significantly. I'm sure Witten in his second and third year as a player were much better than he was as a rookie. The same thing was going to happen in the booth. You have to take your licks early on, grow from it, and become a better sports commentator. For whatever reason, he decides to come back. He obviously, because he thinks maybe, you know, they can get a Super Bowl with him being there. But Blake Jarwin was starting to come along. He was showing a lot of promise. Witten's getting slower. I still think he can be a 5 touchdowns guy in the red zone, and that's going to help. And to be honest, it is going to help having him there, not only on the field, which he will still be good on the field, but from a leadership standpoint, having another veteran in the locker room, having a guy that truly respects the team and the Dallas Cowboys brand and everything like that, it's going to be great for them. Individually, is it the smartest move for Jason Witten? I don't know. It depends on who you ask. Some would say, yeah, making $5 million as a player, which is what he's getting paid, is much smarter than making whatever he made as an analyst. Probably a couple million. I don't know. Maybe $1 million a year, maybe less than that. I'm not sure what his contract was. Maybe it was $500,000. Maybe it was $100,000. Who knows? But we do know playing is more. We don't know exactly what he earned as a commentator, but we do know his $5 million is more. So, like I said, it can go either way. It's in the eye of the beholder. Some people will say it was a dumb move. Some people will say it was a smart move. Like I said, it just depends on who you ask. The next topic we have up, DK Metcalf. You know, DK Metcalf is going to be a third-generation NFL player, and his desire to compete is what separates him from the rest. Ole Miss standout DK Metcalf has become a social media star when a picture of him, or he became a social media star when a picture of him working out went viral. Metcalf resembles a young Arnold Schwarzenegger more so than a wide receiver entering the draft, and that immediately blew people away. There's more to Metcalf, though, and he comes from a family that has a great amount of history with professional football. Metcalf's dad played for several years with the Bears, Lions, and Saints. His grandfather, Terry Metcalf, was also in the NFL and played most of his career with the St. Louis Cardinals back in the 1970s. The St. Louis Cardinals football team. It's crazy. Both the football and the baseball team at one point were both called the St. Louis Cardinals. So there's no doubt, you know, the pedigree is there for DK Metcalf, and he's always grown up a fan of the sport. Obviously, when you have a passion like that, it tends to show, And it's one of the reasons he could end up going in the first round next month. You can tell Metcalf has worked hard to perfect his craft, and he's known for getting the best of cornerbacks. On film, this guy consistently beat one-on-one coverage, and he's great at high-pointing 50-50 balls. That automatically makes him a red zone threat, and he should be able to get 4 or 5 touchdowns off those skills alone. You'll also notice that Metcalf is exceptionally fast for a player his size. He's 6'3", 228. And he's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. The other two traits that make him special is his ability to get behind the secondary and take the top off the defense. You know, when you combine that with a knack for making the clutch play, which Metcalf is very capable of doing, it translates into one of the better prospects on the board. Someone is going to take this kid and realize that everything he's selling is authentic. And that's why he's special. He also bench pressed 27 reps at 225 pounds at the NFL Combine, so he's also one of the strongest players ever at his position. So DK Metcalf, I broke down his film. Obviously went viral for the workout picture. Like I said, he looks more like Arnold Schwarzenegger than he does like someone entering the draft. And, you know, he's 6'3", 228. There's a report out of the combine that he had less than 2% body fat. That's how much of a brick house this guy is. Some people are saying, you know, he reminds them of David Boston, which is not necessarily a good thing because David Boston was super talented, but a little bit of a head case. And I would say didn't fulfill his potential as a professional player. So, you know, when it comes to players and it comes to how, like, a player that's too fast, like, you know, like I think it was Trey Archer, who was it a few years ago? His last name was Archer. Maybe it was Dre Archer. One of the faster guys, but never really turned into a great player. And it's kind of like in basketball sometimes, players who are too tall, they don't become great players because they're just not agile enough. Even in football, quarterbacks that are too tall a lot of times don't pan out either. So it's like instead of getting the 6'7", 6'8", 6'9" guy, you actually want to get like a 6'3" guy because they're a little bit more agile. I kind of feel the same thing with wide receivers. When a wide receiver is too big and he puts up 27 bench press reps, I'm kind of like, okay, wide receivers need to be more fast than they have to be big because you got to be able to get separation. But with DK Metcalf, it feels a little bit different. It feels like even though he's super big, he put up 27 reps of 225 pounds, it feels like he might be able to overcome being what most, you know, scouts might think, you know, is too big for a wide receiver. When you plug in the tape and watch this guy play, he's awesome. Anytime there was one-on-one coverage, he won. He's very good in the red zone at jump balls. So when you're throwing this guy fades, he's usually going up and getting it above the defender and coming down with it. So, like I said, he can get 4 or 5 touchdowns just as off being a red zone target. And then he's very good from a yak standpoint, too. So you see him catch these passes. He stiff arms a defender, and then he takes off for a big gain up the sideline or scores a touchdown. And then the other two things, you know, he can get behind the defense. Like Randy Moss used to say, take the top off the defense. He gets behind the secondary all the time. And then the clutch play, I seen him catch a game winner. I forgot who it was against. I think it was like Kentucky. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But it's clear that, you know, like what Santonio Holmes was known for, those clutch catches in the Super Bowl, those tiptoe catches. He had the one to win the Super Bowl for, I think it was the Steelers. But, DK Metcalf's a guy that can make that catch when the pressure's on. And a lot of guys, you know, they get nervous. They make the catch all year. And then when it's a playoff game and everybody's watching, they drop it. I don't think DK Metcalf will drop those passes. I think he's legitimate. I think he's the real deal. And I think he's going to be a hell of a football player someday. I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have. Check out endzoneblog.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm signing off.